Hello and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Now, most of what we hear from detractors of the GOP health care bill is that it will hurt people who are older, low income, and often part of the disaffected white working class. Some of those people were key Trump supporters in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. They turned the tide in his favor. So now, with a bill that may hurt them, will these people stand in opposition to it? Maybe not, according to contributing editor Neil Milner, back with a look at the long view. Hello there.
Hi.
Okay, so explain to me why the logic of self-interest that most people would probably point to as the reason that these folks wouldn't like this bill, why does that logic not apply here?
Well, logic is not the good way to look at political decisions generally. People have all kinds of ways of making choices. I think in this case, what we have to remember is that economic self-interest is not the only factor that determines things. I'm not saying that these people would like the bill. I'm saying that there are things that can happen and that involve values that these people support that will make them less likely to oppose of it.
What kind of values are we talking
about?
Well,
okay, there's a couple of them, and one of them is based on a piece that a guy named Chris Ladd recently published in Forbes magazine. He said, you have to remember that the same kind of disaffected working class, and I want to come back to this in a second because this isn't really all about the working class. This disaffected working class has great distaste for the safety net in the welfare state because they see the welfare state as giving kind of bad public things that are not very good. What they want to go back to is what he calls a kind of socialism of white people. But what that really means is that the people who really benefit from the safety net are people who work, are middle class, and they get benefits like mortgage deduction. They get benefits from their own private health insurance that they get through their employees. You don't pay taxes on the money. The employers don't pay taxes. And what these folks really want are those kinds of benefits. They don't want this kind of...
Even though that they're not necessarily participating in the same kind of activities that are getting those other people the same benefits.
Well, but that's part of the story here, and I have some criticisms of Ladd's argument. But remember, these people want to be in a situation where they can work to get those sorts of things. There's a better kind of reason why this working class element distrusts the welfare state, and that's based on some of the work that was done in Wisconsin. They don't trust government benefits because they say government benefits go way too much to people who are not deserving of them, people who don't work, people who are lazy, and so on. Now, both of these reasons that I just gave don't mean that they will turn away definitely from this bill, but they mitigate this notion that that these people are just being duped because it's not in their economic self-interest.
This is sounding a lot like something we talked about maybe many months ago now. Catherine Kramer, in her book, The Politics of Resentment, it sounds like you've got an emotional issue that's pulling them in a direction that, even though it might not benefit them significantly, still feels good to them.
Yeah, I don't understand why people, and a lot of anti-Trump folks do this, assume that this emotional thing is only part of the Trump thing. Emotions are very much a part of politics, and you certainly see it here. And before I explain it, let me just say one thing. Keep in mind that the majority, the overwhelming majority of people who voted for Trump were not disaffected white working class people. They were your regular Republicans. And your regular Republicans have conservative values that are very much like the Paul Ryan Republican health care. So don't see this as just about what you have to do for the white working class. But now let's get back to what you say. We know that there are all kinds of ways that when people make political choices, they deal with issues that don't seem to be comfortable to them. If you like Trump, but you don't like the healthcare thing that you're hearing, one of the things that we do psychologically is to reinterpret what we're hearing about healthcare to make it more consistent with what you think
about
Trump.
To make it fit.
Or you say people are lying about the bill. You say all kinds of things. These are not necessarily definitive, but this is the regular way that we vote. So I guess my main point is, look, they may not like this health care bill, and maybe it will hurt Trump down the road. But two things. Every time we say something is going to hurt Trump down the road, we've been wrong up to now. And secondly, there are these other factors here. If you support a candidate, you don't do it just on the basis of one issue.
Not necessarily on the basis of one issue, but there is a great deal of emotional draw to a fantasy, something that you believe may happen that isn't necessarily based in reality. Is that operative here too?
Oh, absolutely. Fantasy is operative a lot of times in politics for everybody. If you read The Art of the Deal, which is the best book, the Donald Trump's Art of the Deal, it's the best book explaining how Trump works. He's got this wonderful apropos quote in there about you have to appeal to fantasies sometimes. You appeal to fantasies, you make people think they are part of something bigger. That's part of what the Trump supporters are doing. They think that Donald Trump offers them a way for more self-respect, for bringing back the old world, for maybe even more white nationalism. And you have to keep those things in mind as the context in which they evaluate the healthcare thing.
Right now, we don't know exactly what that healthcare policy is going to look like.
I mean,
clearly, as you've
been
hearing through the news for the past couple of days, knowing that the House Freedom Caucus is opposed to it, knowing that they're looking toward the Senate to see if they're clearly not going to have enough votes for it. They're looking to that too. So we don't really know what this is, but still, you have Donald Trump telling Republicans that if they don't get with the program and get this thing passed, that they're going to have their comeuppance next year in the election. That is also playing into fear and fantasy.
Well, the interesting thing is that there's no doubt that Donald Trump's position on this is to support a very conservative, very traditional Republican approach to health care. And there's no way around that. So, and in fact, what's interesting about so much of the discussion about health care is how little of it has been concerned with. There's been a fair amount of rhetoric with these kind of white working class issues. If you want to look at the nub of the white working class issues, you have to kind of cut through the usual kind of conservative rhetoric and look at things like Medicaid and look at things like the number of people who are being insured. That's the ultimate thing that makes so many Republicans nervous, is that you can do all kinds of conservative Republican kind of talk about what your bill does and it moves towards away from government interference and all that. But the fact of the matter, if you've got this hard number in front of you about who's insured and you talk and you hear lots of stories about Medicaid and who's going to lose that, that's a threat.
And that seems to be where Hawaii is too, because we get so much money, and having been part of the Medicaid expansion, watching what's happening in the legislature now where there are, sort of piecemeal protections that are still being looked at for that. We're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow on Town Square. But for us, is that really, truly where Hawaii starts to take notice of what's happening with healthcare? Because ostensibly, we could be protected from not having as many impacts as other people who are on the mainland.
Well, we certainly are protected. That is, the people who have, since people who work here are much
prepaid
much
healthcare,
more,
right.
Prepaid healthcare, you're going to have that. So you have a few group people who aren't working, then you have Medicaid. So for us, the real concern is much more likely to be Medicaid. But you have to remember how much of this issue of health care is a hot-button issue politically in all over the country, including Hawaii. It's a way to watch what's happening to Donald Trump. And I think that people here are very much concerned about that, even if it doesn't have direct impact.
All right. We'll keep looking through that lens and seeing what we see as we move on. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Neil Milner taught political science at UH Manoa for 40 years and is the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View. You can tune in tomorrow for Town Square, where we'll consider the changing scenarios of Hawaii healthcare and whether our state will again become the gold standard.